Brethren, this morning my heart overflows with a good theme. Usually, the peaks, previously known as Spanish peaks, occurs in around the 20th or so of July, and it's a little later this week and this year, and usually at the peaks I'm contemplating my spiritual birthday. This time I've already gone through my spiritual birthday last Tuesday. This last Tuesday I was 30 years old in the Lord. And if Moses in the Psalm 90 is correct, I've got about 22 or more so years left on this earth. That average holds for me. And so over half my Christian walk is done. And when Jay was preaching and teaching back there in the 70s, and I got on board, I remember the mantra, so to speak, was one disciple a year. The power of one. And I've kept that. I've kept that vision, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't got it, to get it. Now, the first 5 years of my Christian walk, I could not claim that there could possibly be five people operating, working out there, the Great Commission, due primarily to my efforts in the Lord. At 30 years old, I'm confident there are. And I pray and I hope that I've got enough time not only to do 30-fold more, but 100-fold or more. And to share the joy of that, the greatness of that, the beauty of that, that everyone would step up to the plate, point to the mountain, go in there and swing away. I'd like to ask the man who discipled me and immersed me a little over 30 years ago to pray for the message.
Oh Lord God, to you belongs the honor, the glory, the dominion, and the majesty before all time, and now and forever. And so we are able to approach you through God our Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for that we're eternally grateful. I'm just so thankful for Steve, his family, the multitudes that have come through the multiplication. And I just ask, Father, you be with him in this so important message about the salvation to the Gentiles this morning. And I pray, Father, that we can all be stirred by his conviction and by his scriptural appeal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And what time is lunch today? We're going to Acts chapter 10. Thank you, Brother Jay. I am thankful today and will be thankful for eternity because of your work and the work of many who came before you. Right on back to the book of Acts. Chapter 10, the scripture I've been assigned, starts in verse 34. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day, and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Now while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be immersed who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Now I emailed Jay right back after I received the assignment and said, is anybody doing chapter 11? Because you can't teach this, much less preach it, without chapter 11. See? And so he writes back, thank goodness he said, hey, no, chapter 11's wide open, go for it. You know? Well, he already knew that. He wrote the Holy Spirit booklet that showed me what this all means and how it all works together and it's interconnected. As a matter of fact, I was so excited when you shared that I was going to do this passage, because just a few days earlier, I had a study with a young man by the name of Bill Schiffman. His wife was immersed, Jenny, in the middle of January, and this man is a detail man. He's a skilled craftsman with metals, and he wants to know. He wants all the details to be figured out before he does anything, and he could see this is big. See? And this material that he's getting, this man is of this caliber. I don't know if you guys have ever had a disciple like this, but I tell you, this is the top of the whole batch. We get through the plan of salvation, scratching his head. Well, that's not what my mom says. And, but it's in there. And, I give him the new creation booklet. There was no problem with Pentecostalism, the Holy Spirit, or any of this. So I thought, well, I'm gonna just jump right here and lay this new creation booklet on this guy, see what he does with it. You know, he's really tearing into this stuff. So I come back a week later. I said, you know, and he's got a different demeanor. I could sense that he was agitated somewhat. And so I said, well, did you read the booklet? Oh, yeah. You know, and most people, no, I didn't have time. You know how that works, you know. And then you got to spoon feed them, you know. Every page, you leave off page 16, you're going to pick up, you know, on page 16 the next time you come, right? That's the way it works most of the time, and we should be prepared. We should have the patience and the mercy and compassion. Yeah, right, see? That's the way I was, you know? So I could have compassion easily. But this guy, he said, yep, I read it. He says, I've got one question. And correct me if I'm wrong. Am I reading this right? You're not saying we're to learn about Jesus in this booklet, but we are to become as Christ. Is that what I'm reading here? And I said, you got it, buddy! Alright, I remember sitting around his table. You know, it's a round table. He's over here and his wife's over here. And looking right at him. And I go, yep, you got it right. And he goes, well, how can that be? Say, how can that be? And I said, well, let me show you. And we just started flipping to new creation scriptures in chronological order, just going through there, you know. And he goes, this is in every book. How have we missed? How come they don't preach this? How come we've missed this? Where is this at? It's everywhere. See, it's kind of like, you know, you buy a Subaru, you know, you've never seen the Subarus on the road, and you start driving that Subaru, all of a sudden you see Subarus everywhere. Never saw them before. Man, that's how it was with this guy. He started seeing new creation. You can be like Jesus. Not learning about Jesus, but learning Christ. That just pops up, you know. And, wow, this guy is on it. Well, I came into study about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, it's summer. It's hard to get together and whatnot. And this guy says, what about Cornelius? What about Cornelius? Say. He got the Holy Spirit before he got baptized. Anybody hear that? Anyone hear that before? Man, this is, you know, it used to be, you know, what about the thief on the cross? You know, right? We got rabbit shooters, piece of cake, take them to a couple scriptures, you know, the covenant's not in effect, well, man's living, you know, Hebrews 9, and, you know, just pretty simple stuff, see? This is not simple stuff. When people are moving on this scripture, we had better rise to the occasion. You've got 1 hour or less to answer this question to this man's satisfaction, and he knows nothing about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, any of that material, see? And you've got to show him. Man, that was great. Man, that was a challenge. See? And that's the challenge before us today as I read this scripture. See, he preached Jesus to this Gentile. I have a feeling that Cornelius had heard about Jesus. You know? And he wanted to know about the God of the Jews. And he heard about the Christians. But he wasn't a part of the action. See? Couldn't be. As a matter of fact, God had to go to great lengths, and that's earlier in chapter 10, just to get Peter to go there. And he brought 6 witnesses with him just to cover himself.
That's right.
You notice that? 1,500 years of, don't have any dealings with these folks, don't have any dealings with these folks, you know. He gets hungry, he's up on the roof, you know, and all of a sudden, whoosh, whoosh, you know. Animals of all kinds, you know. 3 times, and all of a sudden, knock on the door, 3 Gentiles, you know. Peter kind of puts it together. Okay, stay the night, then I'm going with you. But I'm going to take some cover with these 6 guys. Right? Smart. Hey, we need to do the same thing, folks. We got to do it smart. See? And so, you know, this one verse here. Let's see if we can pick it out real quick. See? Verse 29 is the verse earlier. See? You know, Peter goes, he's come to the house of Cornelius, and earlier on, you know, Cornelius tries to worship him, falls at his feet, verse 25, you know, maybe going to kiss his ring or something, you know, because he is the first pope, right? So, you know, I mean, that's it's obvious to everybody. And so Peter raises him up, says, "No, I'm a man just like you," you know, and he enters in, finds many people assembled. See, and then he says, let's start in verse 28. He said to them, "You know yourselves how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason have you sent me?" See, Peter's clueless. God told him to do it? Okay, I'll do it. See? You know? He had to be convinced, and he took his cover, but he didn't know why he was sent there. Then Cornelius shares with them, starting in verse 30, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour. Behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. God's going to forgive your sins. No. No. See? No sinner's prayer here, although we have a sinner who's praying. Okay? See? Your prayers have been heard. And your alms, he put his money where his mouth was, have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Peter doesn't know why he's there. You know, Cornelius tells him, hey, an angel came to me and said, you know, my prayer's been heard. Go send for you. Here you are. I want to hear what you have been commanded by the Lord. Say. So opening his mouth, then Peter says, hey, now I understand God's not going to show partiality. We talked about the seed and all the nations, all the families of the earth being blessed. See? Peter's getting it. Okay? This is for everybody now. In every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. See? Now, the man who fears him and does what is right is not necessarily saved. He might be good soul, might have a good heart, you know? Might be concerned about his family and friends who are all gathered there. And what God does is send a messenger to those guys. And hello, we're the ones that God will send. There are people out there who really desire to know how to serve God. What to do. See? And God's dependent on us to go to them. And so Peter does go, and he preaches Jesus. Look at verse 37, after he says, he is Lord of all. He says, you yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. These guys knew about it. See? He's a military man. It's an occupation army. See? It's his job to know what's going on. He knew what was going on. See? Now, Peter is not on trial until chapter 11. But I maintain to you that all of us are on trial when people ask us. Okay? As Jerry so pointedly showed us with that confession. And we need to be praying for everyone who will say, hey, I blew it, but I'm going back. I'm doing it right. See? That's us. See? You go into a Bible study, you don't know the answer. I train my disciples. You do not know the answer. Here is your response. I don't know. Good question. I haven't thought of that one before. Next week, we'll have an answer. See? Not try to, you know, dazzle them, you know, with your knowledge of all these scriptures and pulling them here and there. Just say, hey, I don't know. Good question. See? If you got the references and it's important enough, stop right there. Okay, let's do an intense study on this. Okay? Otherwise, next week, we're going to cover this, baby, with some knowledge. I'm going to do some study here. See, and that's where I've learned most of my material. Beyond the elementary teachings is questions I couldn't answer. Man, you don't forget them either. You don't. See? You walk away with your tail between your legs, so to speak, spiritually, from a Bible study. You can either quit or get it. That's the only two responses, see? And we're the guys who get it and go back, see? And then go, next question. So, see, notice, try this question out on some people. I'm trying it, you know? We always got to stir the pot, okay? I don't like this question. You know, people are talking about, oh, it's not water baptism, you know, and not water, I'm the water salvationist, all this stuff, okay? We hit it all the time. Why not try asking them this question? Was the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? Try that question. Do you realize that Peter and the other disciples were baptizing more people than John into John's baptism before he was arrested? Did you know that? And so, in Acts 2:38, when he says, arise and be baptized, see, in the name of Jesus Christ was new, but nothing else was. Repent was not new. That was the baptism of John. Repent, go into water for forgiveness of sins. That was not new. They had been doing it all along up to that point. The only two new points, see, are in the name of Jesus for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just did a fulfillment of John's baptism. See? So ask people, was the baptism of John, was it of God or men? Of heaven or men? See? If it's of heaven, then you should have no problem with the proclamation by Peter and the other apostles about water baptism under the new covenant and what it gets you. They didn't change horses in midstream. They did a fulfillment. So, anyway, starting with the baptism of John, which they knew about. See, he's got a starting place. We got some background. Okay, let's roll. Talks about Jesus put to death, the appearance over the resurrection on the third day and being visible, the appearance over a period of 40 days. See, and he ate and drank with us. See, in verse 42, Jesus, while he was resurrected and before he ascended, he ordered us to preach to the people. Well, that is in direct response to Cornelius in verse 33. Now then, we are here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Well, he ordered us to preach to the people, and I guess now we're supposed to preach to the Gentiles. And here we are. See, aren't we glad that this occurred? I'm not of Jewish stock, I don't believe. I don't think most of you are either, even if you could prove it. But that's another story. See, he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one and only. See? One there also has an attachment, an understanding of only. You know Ephesians 4:4-4:6, the seven ones? I believe that there's an understanding of only in there as well. And I'll only work with people who are in agreement on all seven of them. Not six. All seven. But he says that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And we go, and that was beautiful, Mark. Serious. Detail, detail, detail in this scripture for sure, but also the prophecy of Joel when it starts out days and it ends up in verse 20 with day. The difference between those two words is of great significance. See, we're waiting for the day in which He's going to judge the living and the dead. We are in the last days, but the day has not yet arrived. Verse 43, this is not the end of the message, but He gets cut short by God Himself. Of Him, of Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. All of a sudden, boom! doesn't say here, but there's a jet engine sound. Who understands that while Peter was still speaking, there was a jet engine sound, or that mighty rushing wind? Raise your hand. Who understands that? Okay, good. Now, can you teach it to somebody? See, that's where the action's at. First yourself, then to others. See, while Peter was still speaking his words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Why? Because they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. See. Now, people who don't know the Scriptures, and this is pulled out of context, this looks like all you have to do is believe, hear the message and believe it, and you get the Holy Spirit. And then, see, Peter goes, whoa, surely no one can refuse water for these who have received the Holy Spirit. Just as we did. Can he? Ordered him to be baptized. Say, water baptism is ordered here by Peter. He's taking full responsibility. I see it. I understand it. These guys are in. 1,500 years of exclusion is now done. That's a mighty, mighty big point, break point for the church. Huge. God accomplished it right there. Now the rest of the story, for those who do not yet understand, and for those who have not yet taught this, is found in chapter 11. And also chapter 1 of Acts. See? Now the Holy Spirit booklet does a great job. But let me just hit the highlights. Verses 1 through 4 of chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. Well, they were all circumcised at that point, except for Cornelius' household. See? So they took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence what happened. And now we get what happened in a crunched down version of what took a long time in chapter 10 to explain all about the sheet and getting hungry and going and all of this. Right? But it adds information even though it's shorter, expecting the reader to already have done chapter 10. Now, most people today, you can't expect that, though. Seriously, you can't. You know, well, hey, I was taught, the Roman road. Have you ever been to Romans 6? No, we skipped that. Well, hey, chapter 6 comes before chapter 7, and they both come before chapter 10, and they're all in one unit, see? But that's what we deal with. Have compassion, have mercy, have patience, and go ahead and do it, see? It's going to take some time. That's all right. Amen. We got as much time as it takes until the house is completed. Right. Okay? So let's complete it. And that can only be done by doing it right. So, Peter begins to explain the sequence. I'm going to skip a lot of that. Verse 12, highlight. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. That's back at his house when he's going to go with the Gentiles up to Cornelius' place. These six brethren also went with me and entered the man's house. Now we know there were six of them. We don't hear that in chapter 10. We know there's six. And it's these six. Come on up, guys. Got to back me up on this. These guys are hot. See? Peter's on trial. See? And guess what? This is a good thing. You know, this used to be called the Spanish Peaks Clinic. To my mind, it still is a clinic. This is where the cutting edge is at. This is where we get things taken care of before we go home. We come down off this mountain of one mind, ready to do battle. See? That's what this thing is for. Take him to task. And they did. And so he said, okay, I'm going to orderly talk to you in sequence here. So he tells them about six men. Come on up, six men. Verse 13. And this man, Cornelius, reported us to how he had seen the angel standing in the house, saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. Look at verse 14. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. We didn't get that in chapter 10. We get that in here. See? Because Peter didn't get it. See? In chapter 10. He got it after the fact. Hey, I was supposed to, you know, okay, now I understand what this Cornelius was telling me. I, you know, maybe he told him while he was lifting him up while he was trying to kiss his ring. I don't know. But it's not in chapter 10. It's here. It's fact. See? He's going to speak words to them by which you will be saved. Now, not coincidentally, in verse 43, as he broaches the subject of forgiveness of sins, whoosh! Okay, end of message, God intervenes. Peter goes, whoa, we better get these guys baptized in water, see? Now, after 14, 15 and 16 are the two key verses that will decipher the whole problem that people have in just reading chapter 10 and saying, oh yeah, well this is an example of someone getting the Holy Spirit before they're baptized in water. It's easy. We can see that. Verse 15, Peter says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon me. Wait a minute. You know, how many verses you got here? 10? You know, you've been speaking a while. Well, for Peter, it was just starting. That's how preachers are. Get used to it. See? But anyway, he's just beginning. You know, he's already preached Jesus risen from the dead, etc., etc. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Okay, we already got that, right? In verse 45 of chapter 10. But we didn't get the rest. Just, which means exactly like the Holy Spirit, He did upon us at the beginning. The us and the beginning are critical here. Attention to detail. Us at the beginning. Okay? Now, with just that, some people will know about Pentecost being the beginning of the church. And, you know, mostly the people that really I've interfaced with this scripture who really fight it are and push it are the Pentecostals. Because, see, they were speaking in tongues. See? They were Christians. This is one of their big scriptures. If we're going to make inroads into the Pentecostal, I mean, I married a Pentecostal preacher's daughter. See? Of the old school. Holiness. See? And these guys are tough nuts to crack. They are taking over the denominations. See? This movement. This is one of their scriptures. We need to have this. Otherwise, we lose. Upon us at the beginning. Now, a lot of them understand that we talk to about this scripture and try to explain it. correctly, at the beginning was Pentecost. Oh yeah, you betcha, man. Right on. See, everybody gets that gift. See, the gifts. Well, verse 16 is your key in to clarify and get back to Acts 1 where you need to go before you hit Acts 2:2-4 to give the manifestations of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter says to these Jews. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now he's quoting Jesus in Acts 1:5 during the 40-day period where he's teaching these guys. Probably right towards the end. See, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to that reference. And this is what you have to do, and have them read it for themselves. Actually start in Acts 1:1 and go through 5. First account I can post the office of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles to whom he had chosen. And then from that point, all of the pronouns that are plural attached to apostles. That's how Greek works. Very consistent. Helps us out a lot. To these, the apostles, he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them, the apostles, over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them, the apostles, together, he commanded them, the apostles, not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. There it is. For John baptized with water, that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, the apostles are the us of Acts 11:15. Has to be. And that has to be clarified. See, I remember getting a study with the preacher years ago. He's now retired. Years ago, down at the Assembly of God at Polson, Montana. Miles Finch is his name. Got to see him at the 50th anniversary celebration for my mom and dad, from my mom's side, or excuse me, my wife's side, here last month. And Miles Finch. And so he said, well, what do you want to study about, Steve? Well, I want to study about Pentecostals, man. The Pentecostal times in Acts 2. But first we got to go to Acts 1. Okay. So I had him start reading. You know, he got to a little bit past verse 5 and he stopped. You know, we're trying to get to Acts 2. You know, he goes, I know what you're doing. That's what he did. And he put his Bible closed and he says, you are a detail man. I'm a generalist. Not only the apostles got the Holy Spirit, the gifts. That's what he told me. He just went a few verses past 5, stopped, backed up, and said, I know what you're going to do. See, he already knew. He is a smart boy. He had a big congregation. And he's retired very well on the lake. Now, it behooves me why his wife has had a mental breakdown through the pressures of being a preacher's wife, a pastor's wife, and has acute back problems now, and they're relatively young. They did very well. When they've got all kinds of healers! See? It doesn't make sense, and I know this guy. Man, he didn't like seeing me here in June. He didn't like seeing me at all. You know? But that's okay, because he was seeing Jesus. See, I smelled like death to him. See, so you get him to through verse 5 and say, now look, these are the apostles who are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. 10 days later, after the ascension, Acts 2. See, on the day of Pentecost, when he had come, they were all together in one place. They're there again, the apostles. Not the 120, see? It's during the hour of prayer. They're in the temple area. So, you know, hello, figure it out. There were women in the upper room, etc., etc. Now, and there's a lot of other proofs. The Holy Spirit booklet's got it. But verses 2 through 4 give us the three manifestations of which the speaking in tongues is the final. And what I will tell people, you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues alone. You have to first have a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Then you have to have a tongue of fire on your head as you start speaking in tongues. See? And I'm not talking just a big lighter. We're in the temple area. They drew all kinds of people. Man, that baby was probably 20 foot tall. I can hardly wait to see the tapes when I get to heaven. Those tongues of fire were up there because it called a multitude, right? And I wasn't one of these little, you know, blow it out with the wind type thing. It was, you know, it was surging, I believe. I can hardly wait to see what it was like. But see, this is baptism with the Holy Spirit. Go back to Acts chapter 11. See, Peter says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, those Gentiles, the Cornelius and his household, just as He did upon us, the apostles, on the day of Pentecost, which has three manifestations. We pull out in chapter 10, verse 46, the speaking in tongues. But the other ones were there. They had to be there if it's just as He fell upon us at the beginning. And then, to just lock it down, double tight, see? And as I was looking at this, I remembered how Jesus told us, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See? Not many days from now, He didn't include that, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So He goes, these guys were baptized with the Holy Spirit according to the definitions there in Acts chapter 2, 2 through 4. That's what you need to convey to get it right. And certainly, Peter would say, whoa, no one can refuse these to be immersed in water who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them. And the six brethren next to him are going, yep, that's what happened. Exactly like he said. And guess what? They don't have a problem now. Everybody's okay. See? Verse 17, see? Then 18. You know, Peter says, how can we stand in God's way? God did this. 18. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. 1,500 years of a wall being torn down. Matter of days. It took huge, miraculous signs for that to happen. Okay? Now, believe me, brethren, When my father-in-law makes appeals to me, such as, you know, Steve, if you would just embrace the Spirit, do you realize how much your ministry could enlarge? See? Yeah. And my pocketbook, too, I'm sure. That is really... going to be what we face. Hey, man, like I tell them, yes, you've got a congregation up here in the Flathead of 2,000 people strong, Assembly of God. They don't call it Assembly of God anymore. It's the Christian Center, you know, so everybody can gravitate to the center, you know, and that's what they do. And I'll say, hey, with that crowd that big, you got to have several with the gift of healing. Several. Okay? I want your best one for one day, and we'll rip through Kalispell. You know, we'll first go to Kalispell Regional. It's not hardly it's a little bit over, but not much. Of course, you know, I was going to say a stone's throw. Remember when Jerry hit that golf ball? About that far away. From this Christian Center is the Kalispell Regional Hospital. Well, let's just go, we'll walk over there. We'll walk over and we'll just clean out all the wards. We'll let Kathleen have a day off. See, we'll clean out all the wards, see, and we'll go down to the Johnson Mortuary next. Okay? And we'll clean out. And I'll tell you, then we'll have a revival, folks, and I'll preach and people will be saved. That's what I tell them. Let's do it. You got it. Let's go. What's the problem? See, this doesn't only happen in the Philippines and Africa and every place on the other side of the world. It's got to happen here too, if it's real. See, we got to get serious with these guys because they're getting serious. See, and you read in Thessalonians there where my brother was, you know, getting in there about obeying the gospel. Wow, you know, there's going to be signs and wonders, and even the very elect in those final days are going to be shaken if they don't got this material by what's happening. See? These things are real. And the devil's going to do everything he can to put those counterfeits in. See? So we got to be able to handle Acts 10 with Acts 11, Acts 1, and 2. See? When people ask. Okay, for my conclusion. 1 Peter 3:15. Oh, I was thinking about this too. Does anybody have a New King James here? Anybody got a New King James? Okay, great. Just a minute, I'll ask you to read out of it. New American Standard, which I come from most of the time. Verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. See, the hope that's within us is that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See? And there, of course, is one hope. And that's the hope. See? Oneness. See, not plan A, B, and C, you pick your door. No way! There's one. Okay? And we need to be able to share it with anyone who asks you. You need to do that. In the first couple years of your walk, you've got to have those elementary teachings down so that you can clear the confusion. Now, look at this, though. You know, hit this the other day. 1 Peter 3:21 out of New King James. One of you guys want to read that?
There's also an added type which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Antitype. Where do they get these words? It's to throw us off. The kernel sentence is, baptism now saves you. Antitype or not. See? Come on! You know? I tell you, they're always coming up with something. See? Okay? Well, you better be ready when they start, well, what's the antitype? Anti means opposite. That means, well, opposite. The baptism doesn't save you. That's the opposite there, right? Come on! See? Hey! It's here. New King James is getting real popular. So we gotta cover the bases, man. That's what we're all about. They got a question, we answer it from the scriptures. 2 Timothy, that's where I want to close. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Always think Timothy should come before Thessalonians. I don't know why. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Talking to this young evangelist, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. We heard about that from Peter earlier. And by his appearing and his kingdom. See, his appearing and his kingdom. See, that's a judgment call to the world. Preach the word. No, don't preach the world. They're already doing that. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and great instruction. See? We have got to know the details. You know what's been said? The devil is in the details. Well, I want to rephrase that. I agree, yeah. The truth is in the details as well. We better know them. Okay? And Acts 10 really, really is important detailed material. And then 7 and 8, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved His appearing. There's a fight on. And you've got to have the Scriptures to hold your own and defeat the fortresses, the encampments, see, the lies that are raised up against the knowledge of the truth. See, there's a battle here for truth. Paul says, I have finished the course. I love that. I have kept the faith. See, if you have kept the faith, and you continue till the day you leave this body, you win. See, that's the whole deal, guys. See? The race does not go to the swiftest, or the smartest, or the prettiest, as it does in the world. See? The race goes to those who finish. Now, I don't care what I have to do. If I have to crawl across that finish line, I'm going to finish. Because I win. You don't finish, you don't win. You don't keep the faith, you don't win. You're not fruitful, you don't win. See? You don't have the answers, that's fine. But you better find out what they are before you cross that finish line. And the confidence of Paul here, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. That Lord who is the righteous judge is going to hand it to me, award it to me. And not only to me. See, in this race, it's just not one winner. Aren't you glad? This team! This is team ball! See? We all win! We all win! Together! We win! Get those details down. We're going after them. See, this is not a defensive move, folks. We're taking the high ground. We have got it understood correctly. See? And if we haven't, our Bible says will bear it out to us. They'll ask questions that, wait a minute, we better figure this one out. So then when you go to Peaks, you hear about it. See? That's what we're about. See? So you're going to cross that finish line? You're going to do everything you can to bring as many people with you? See? That's the abundant life. I wouldn't have it any other way. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you. Thank you so much for these brethren, these men, and these boys that are gathered together in your name. Lord God, according to your will, on this mountain, for a clinic, for us to have a time of rest this afternoon, a time of sweet fellowship, a time where we can share what's going on at home and here and have many prayer requests for others as we go off this mountain. Lord, I pray that we would understand we're in this together. And we want to cross that finish line as your bride with beautiful, dazzling. We've taken the hits. We've come through it. We have put all your enemies under your feet, and we're the feet. We have been burying people right and left. And when that last stone, that last living stone is placed into the temple, oh Father, I pray it soon, then we will be together with our Lord, our husband, forever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and may you find us working when you appear. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.